Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Self-Existing Dog, and it is the fourth day of the Blue Hand Wave Spell, and it is the resonant moon day four. And there's no way you're going to hear this, I don't think, on White Self-Existing Dog, because I am doing it at the end of the day. But it's because sometimes I wait because I don't have anything to say. And I'm sort of uncertain that I have a lot to say right now. But it is time to try. And, you know, to recap last episode, I was pretty rigorous in reminding everyone that the wave spell of Blue Hand is Donald Trump's, and that is considered like a home base for any of us when we pass through our wave spell for our tribe for 13 days. And the qualities that are really obvious about Trump being a Blue Hand that all Blue Hand people share, and of course are on different parts of that spectrum, we would share it ourselves in this time, is being actually pretty on the ball. So this is I'm a little reluctant to seed any kind of complimentary perception about Trump here, but I was doing a reading where I spoke about someone's relative who was a Blue Hand, and I just sort of fell into the resonant channel of this particular moon that we're in, where it is easy to be psychic. And I felt some of the impulses of a Blue Hand person, and it was so much of the agitation of an overworked brain that is constantly checking in with facts, actually, through one's fingers. So it is not just a time of an active mind. It is a time when a mind is constantly synthesizing what it can sense with its hands. So the mind is sort of, all that mental activity doesn't seem very earthen or planetary lots of the time. But in fact, with Blue Hand, there's always this sort of outreach, like checking the pulse of things and making things out of your hands would be another way, where the mind is instructing the hands to be creative, or the hands are healing someone by touching them and transmitting information through the sensitivity of fingertips of the palm of the hand back to the brain. But the brain is staying really, really active all the time. And I think that that is true of Trump. And I'm actually not sure we have to praise that, but it explains a lot. He's just constantly thinking and watching. And, you know, surprisingly, it's not clear, like, what does he use to make with his hands? Well, he builds his empire, he builds his brand. So it's kind of suspect with him, because he really isn't very physically involved in any particular way. You know, like, dare I say, like, sensitive with his hands. Like, I wouldn't know. But in any case, I don't want to get back on this long tirade about the situation of Donald Trump, but just touching back, it's his way of spell, and a lot is happening for him. And for the rest of us, you know, it's just really easy to get a lot of things done with our hands right now. you know, I say this over and over, manual labor, or being creative with our hands, or having projects that require a lot of coordination of the mind and our sensors, are the tools that our hands are for us humans. It's not a very mystical time, which certainly fits the description of Donald Trump. It is a time, I think, when the brain, the mind, is so actively involved in things that are within reach that the outer reaches of the cosmos and divinity are of less concern. Like, they would have to get in line behind the more immediate activity of what's happening right in within reach for someone. And think again of what I said last episode, where this hieroglyph originally referenced the deer. So just think of our hands as antenna or antlers that, you know, they reach out in order to pick up signals that we can then be thoughtfully safe from predators or disruption, or, you know, we're listening closely through our outreach of our hands in order to find the ways that we're going to survive. You know, deers fight with their antlers, and I guess we fight with our hands. So the inauguration will be in this blue hand wave spell of Trump, but it'll be the day the wave breaks and things move into his antipode energy, red spectral earth. So it's kind of like the ultimate unwinding of blue hand's supremacy. So that's perfect that we will see an evolution. Red earth is always when something evolves and change is very readily noticeable. Just, you know, we can see it. It's self-evident. It's not something we have to search for, that there is an evolution and change has occurred, and that'll happen on that day, and that'll take us into the Biden presidency and away from this one. And then if there's an impeachment trial, it will be in this, it will be in the blue hand wave spell at the very tail end, the resolution of Donald Trump's time, and moving into the yellow sun wave spell, which follows this one, which is about enlightenment. And there's always like a priestly energy, where there is leadership that can be accorded to someone who is representing the sun, and that massive form of enlightenment, and like the one God for all of us. The yellow sun moment is pretty rich in terms of shining bright light where there's been darkness and some forms of discord. So that's just something to wait for. I'm not a future reader, not trying to push us too far out, but we have these sort of historic timestamps that are being organized for us culturally. So since they're out there in the future, I just wanted to offer up some of that astrology. The resonant moon is also a time of really great psychic energy, psychic ability. You can trust that things you're thinking about, if they're not happening right in front of you, are happening somewhere in some reality. Like, you're not in a fantasy. You're not imagining things. You have them on your mind because they are part of what is happening in the psychic realm. And I guess, what is the psychic realm? It's invisible, and it is irrational. It's not caught and bound by logic or reason. And so it's the expression of something that's happening on a higher level or underneath the surface. And it's sort of like being drawn to daydreaming about that which your psyche is engaged with in a non-linear fashion. So people you think about matter to you in your psyche. You're working on important karma with them at this juncture. Karma, what does that mean? I mean, you know what karma is, but what do I mean by using it? I would say that you are bound to each other for lessons or hidden connections, or direct connections, but you're experiencing the sort of hidden and removed portion of your connection in the resonant time. Sort of the underwater part of each other, not the surface. And also, you know, way out in space, like resonant to me is communicating on the ether level, which is sort of like through the language of the stars and the ascended ones, that we can love or know people on Earth, but have a relationship to them that is strung through the spirit world, which seems, you know, kind of like out there in the beyond, but that there is a thread between us that has this unspoken dimensionality that is really pure and sort of symbolic, you know, esoteric symbols and strange synchronicities. And I guess where that would show up now would be that you might be prompted to think about someone by a synchronicity happening in your life. And you can trust the prompt, you know, if you're thinking about someone or a series of people right now, it's because they are integral to you, even if it's not obvious in an everyday or, you know, if it's not obvious in our superficial everyday experience, it is nonetheless relevant and resonant that you are feeling connected in some way and hungering for connection. It's an invitation psychically to put your attention on something to remind you it's there, even if it's not obvious that it's there in a material way. So I love the resonant moon. I love the resonant moon. I'm not sure I can communicate well on the resonant moon, but I love it. I love it because I live, obviously, with my moniker, Resonant Truth. I really, really strongly live and love the other dimension of all of our human interactions, the one that we could call psychic. So bring it on. This is our time. We get 28 days. We're a few days in only. We have lots of time left. It's an expansive moment. It's a pause in action, or the action sort of is automated. It got rolling in the rhythmic moon. It's wheels turning over, and we can space out, you know, on the wide expanse of the open road. We don't have to pay particular attention to traffic. That's the metaphor. We get to cruise here and be absent-minded, and our mind is filled with whatever it, you know, is meant to be placed there by this open channel. That happens every day, you know, all waking hours. We are psychic, and I think we become withdrawn if we really want to connect to that magic. We are on the eve or so of Mercury retrograde again, and I'm just wanting you to be really clear that I'm talking about the very long version of the retrograde, about 8 weeks, that includes its pre-shadow and post-shadow phases. Mercury retrograde itself is only about 20 days long, and it will come later on. But on the 15th of January, Gregorian calendar, we are going into retrograde. And it's probably part of the reason why I'm a little awkward and clumsy communicating here, / reluctant to, because I am a little full of hot air right now because I don't have a lot to say. That feels really retrograde for me, that Mercury is this oversight of communication, and when there is some movement that is backwards in perception in the Mercury realm, then my words get thick and tangled, and perhaps yours. And just the other way to greet the retrograde that is really situated here in the resonant time is to remember that rolling backwards can be kind of interesting. There are things in the past that we've sort of left behind that need to be reclaimed. And there are unfinished tasks that we ran out of time to complete that this is the perfect moment to circle back and tighten up the project list. Some of that's literal, you know, the actual fix-it jobs, but some of it's relational. Many of us probably have fallen out with people in a retrograde in the past, and now is the retrograde of the present, and we might be solving some of the distress that was stirred in earlier retrograde cycles. This is a Mayan astrology podcast, so it's really my one weird crossover that I talk about Mercury being retrograde. And, you know, Jose Arguelles was really fierce, or maybe that wasn't his temperament, but he was passionate about connecting Mayan cycles with world spiritual disciplines. So he connected the 28-day moon, the month of our natural time year, with the runes, where there are, I think, approximately, somehow it was morphed into 28 runes for the 28 days. Then he took the I Ching and he had correlations there, which I'm not familiar with. I can't follow the I Ching myself, but he really reached strongly into that discipline and found the ways that they cycled similarly, the Maya and the ancient Chinese and so on. And retrograde ends up being my version. It is natural time that we're celebrating, taking ourselves out of Gregorian calendar cycles that are artificial and arrhythmic, and finding each of us what is natural time, like what to us feels natural in the elapse of time. Like for me, and not only me, well, when the sun rises, that makes the day begin, you know. Like I just know that the quality of light of moving from darkness into dawn, that's the start of the day, not, you know, 12 midnight or what have you. So that becomes a natural thing, and that the days are shorter in the winter than in the summer. For me, that is really natural, that my perception of time is based on how many hours of light and dark there are in each day. And so on, you know, if you have a menstrual cycle that you are connected to, you can feel time through your body. And that's a lot of what we aspire to do collectively in natural time. So the one thing that I add from the zodiac astrology or planetary astrology, like actual following of planetary movement here, is just the retrograde experience, and mostly because it affects me communicating on the podcast. So I'm going to walk you through the days to come, because there is nothing more I want to say about the blue hand time, I think, because it has been a little bit interfered with by Donald Trump's corrupt pathological behavior. I can say that that's blue hand, and it is like an extreme version of knowing, thinking you know everything and you can never be wrong, is a really deep shadow of blue hand that learns, knows things because of verifying what the mind sees with what the hands feel. That makes for a very knowledgeable experience. It's a really good approach. We can all try it in this time, or we're drawn to it now. We're smart because we can verify and we can expand our brain you know, into our body by including touch, the sensation, the verification process of touching something. And the rest of this blue hand experience will unfold and we can take stock of it again together. But I have explained that in the future, the yellow sun wave spell follows this one. I can kind of remark, like, even though we're not that far in a blue hand, that this is the third wave spell of our new Zolk'in. It felt new pretty recently. It was red dragon, the wave spell, followed by white wizard, the wave spell, and now blue hand, and then it'll be yellow sun, and that's the first set of four. So this new Zolk'in experience is, we're working our way through the first of the four directions, or five directions in the Zolk'in, where we spend four wave spells in each direction, and we are in the east. The first direction is always east, where the sun rises, and this four wave spell period is called the Eastern Spiral of Initiation. So we're initiating something within our 260-day Zolk'in experience. That was my prompt for my dogs, that we are in a white self-existing dog day. I am, of course, here on Wednesday, the 13th of January. And Thursday, the 14th, will be Blue Overtone Monkey. Friday the 15th will be Yellow Rhythmic Human, and then Saturday the 16th will be Red Resonant Skywalker, and then you can observe that Sunday is White Galactic Wizard, although I will try to podcast. I certainly will podcast that day. White Galactic Wizard is the remembrance of the White Wizard Wave Spell, the one that preceded this, and then the day before, Red Resonant Skywalker is an anticipation of the Red Skywalker wave spell, which will be the next red wave spell, the one that follows Yellow Sun, as you recall, in our first quartet of wave spells. We finish with Yellow Sun in the south, and then we start the next one in the north. The northern spiral of four wave spells is white in the north, and it is starts with Red Skywalker. So when we get to the weekend, we'll have that, always that pairing of the day seven, a resonant day within the resonant moon, thinking of the future. Honestly, the resonant is sort of like the apparition before the actualization, the first filaments of something that's coming in. And then White Wizard will be completing its cycle. That's essentially a 40-day cycle that started with White Resonant Wizard when we were way back in the end of the Zolk'in, in the final wave spell of the Zolk'in. The Yellow Star wave spell was the last one of our last Zolk'in, and within that wave spell, we celebrated White Resonant Wizard, and it was hearkening forward to the White Wizard wave spell that we recently had. So that was 40 days, essentially, from White Resonant Wizard to White Galactic Wizard, with the White Wizard wave spell in between. And that's always the cycle. So we start on Saturday, the sort of ambient 40-day window where Red Skywalker is in ascendancy. I think what I'll do here is just talk about your astrology in an abstract way. I've been doing a lot of readings. It is a time of year when that happens, because there's this New Year's, Gregorian New Year's appetite for psychic information. The newness can really be celebrated with some direction or spiritual analysis. And so I often have a busier time in what we call January, but I always think it's just synchronized with the resonant moon, where everyone wants psychic information and espouses that naturally. So having done a bunch of readings lately, I want to just remind you that you can walk through this calendar and learn about everyone else. That's what I have done. I'm really withdrawn from humans the last few years, but you know, prior I had a pretty busy life raising children, interacting with people, and not really that successfully, except that I loved looking at people's birthdays and finding out, oh, right, well, that's why they're up to that. you know, not trying to be judgmental and analytical, but just observant and interested, you know, oh, they're a red serpent, they're a yellow human, they're a white wind. Well, that makes sense. You know, they have those qualities so deeply. So I'm encouraging you to look up birthdays. You can use my decoder, which is not really my language. It's the kind of universal language described by the law of, you know, the law of time is Jose Arguelles' legacy institution. And so they use that language that is kind of a metered poem for each day sign. But nonetheless, you can look up birthdays and you can use what you hear here or what you read in books or online to learn about the people in your life historically or currently, people you wish were in your life. I have to tell you that because the internet exploded and there's way too much information online, I can find a lot of strangers' birthdays and not just celebrities. You know, someone that I know abstractly or met through a friend might easily be listed in mylife.com online. And, you know, often there's a birth date there and I will look people up and be like, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, I don't have to wonder why they act that way. It's delineated right there in their astrology. It makes me less judgmental because I believe that everyone is sort of righteous when they're deeply in their day sign and their tribe. I've been calling it, you know, that you're the shaman of that day sign. And so if you're a red serpent, you're the shaman of snake energy. So everyone gets to be an exemplar and, you know, powerful and a pioneer of a certain totem that we study here. And you can be excited, invigorated that some of these people that have some kind of karma with you, again, referencing this resonant psychic time where your thoughts are on certain people. If you don't know their astrology, you could probably figure it out. And you can then, when you walk through one of their days, not maybe their specific Mayan birthday, but it's a red serpent person and you're walking through a red serpent day, you can trust that on in the resonant moon, the psychic time, that what you feel on that day reflects a lot of who they are. And you can be in their footprint on their day, in their tribe, and understand what their experience is like and what they're feeling right now. You can use their day sign passing through their tribe as the day arises as a portal right into that person's experience, broadly and really specific to this moment. And for your own astrology, just remember that you have usually four different tribes that are in your personal constellation. I call it your cosmology. So you have a guide, unless you're guided by your own power doubled. If you're magnetic or rhythmic or spectral in your birthday, then you do not have a guide. You're guided by yourself, by your own power doubled. Those people, I know them. Yeah, obviously, we all do. They're impressive. They are not looking for someone to follow. They follow their own impulses strongly, and it's impressive. It's different, and it's nice to have a guide. But if you're guided by your own power doubled, then that's also very gratifying, very forceful. You have a guide, perhaps. You have an opposite day, an opposite day sign. You have a support called your analog. The opposite is called your antipode, but your support is called your analog, like analogous. It's similar. And then you have this occult power that is hard to explain, but it's a mystical partnership you have with this tribe and the people who are born in that tribe. So you can celebrate your own day sign and four others, the ones that are in your personal constellation. And that's one quarter of the day signs that have personal meaning, significance for you. That's just me encouraging you to be a bit self-sufficient, or opposite that, be like fantastical and involve the calendar in your life, indulge yourself by looking people up in the calendar, and start to become someone who can assess the temperament or what really drives the people that you meet or know based on their astrological leanings and origins. I think that's really a beautiful way to be, both inside the COVID isolation, thinking of others maybe in this way, as well as in the resonant moon's spaciousness. Okay, we did it. A bit of a grind. Thanks for listening. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.